This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dr. It became a hot debate about what's going on in California and what's going on possibly in Florida, and even now Representative Anthony Gonzalez putting together some legislation to see about paying players here. So, Doctor, it seems that the NCAA has their hands full, doesn't it?
You know, and good morning, by the way.
Morning to you, yes, sir.
but yes, this is a fascinating topic. It's been bubbling for a while. It's not going away, and there's going to be a lot of conversation in days to come. You know, you identified three states, California, which has been talking about it for over a year. Florida's now got something in the hopper. We heard yesterday about Ohio. There's actually, I think, eight states that have pre-filed legislation on this. There's another 7, 8, or 9 that they've got legislators talking about it. So this is some form or fashion of this is probably coming to a state near you somewhere. And that's what makes this challenging, because the NCAA is obviously a national organization comprised of member institutions across all 50 states. We have rules that are applicable across all those institutions. Yet if each state has a different rule, how do you manage that? And so that's going to be part of the challenge as we move forward.
We saw yesterday former Buckeye, now Congressman Anthony Gonzalez, introduce legislation there in Congress. And I'm just curious, because Gene Smith at Ohio State, the athletic director, he said they are opposed to this. Obviously, we're hearing a lot of that. But like you said, this is going to come to every single state. What about conferences? Are you opposed? Is your conference opposed? Are you guys all kind of siding against right now this legislation?
No, we're not. We have not taken an official stance.
Well, you can do that now. Take an official stance now.
Breaking news, right? Well, here's what we are for. We're for our student athletes gaining all the benefits that should accrue to them. Most of those, in fact, all of those end up being tethered back to education. Now, the challenge here is going to be, as we wade into this topic of name, image, and likeness, and what that is, it's tied to this issue of the right of publicity, which is not a federally mandated right. It's found in various state constitutions in various forms and fashions, and there's differences across the board. And so how can we facilitate some sort of system that allows kids to take advantage of that if there is value there for them, while at the same time managing some sort of level playing field and in a way that we don't have artificial markets set up that are being driven by boosters as opposed to the marketplace. And I would also add, you know what, we're all kind of in the dark here. We have no idea how many student athletes might in fact actually gain some tangible benefit from this. I think there are people that think that there's just millions and millions and millions of dollars that are going to accrue to student athletes. I think that's probably wildly overly optimistic. I think there are a handful of kids that probably bring some pretty significant marketing value. Because when you do this, you're going to end up detaching that student athlete's name and image from the universities and the teams. They're not going to be out there endorsing the local car dealer standing there in their uniform. They won't be able to do that. They'll be standing there in their street clothes. And then link into this now, what really brings value is social media. And so in those rare instances where you have a student athlete who has, you know, is essentially a social mover, a Zion Williamson who came into Duke with over 1 million Twitter followers, you know, there's probably some marketing power behind that. But, you know, we're talking a handful of kids. And so how do we manage something that very possibly may really only bring benefit to a handful of people without disrupting the entire intercollegiate athletic system?
Well, I think, Doctor, I think that that's maybe one of the things that people get mixed up here. And I know Anthony has a couple of other things, but I don't know if it's really going to be equitable, and I think that's one of the things that players themselves might need to understand is that, well, we say we got to pay the players, and okay, likeness is fine, but that doesn't mean that everybody's going to get a car deal. That doesn't mean that everybody's going to be up on a billboard. It would probably be the haves, and there's going to be plenty of have-nots.
Well, you're exactly right, and so that's part of it. And again, if it's a true market system, then that's maybe okay. But we need to make we got to figure out some way to regulate it. If in fact we go that way, that it's not, you know, the boosters at school X say, you know, we're going to make sure all of our defensive linemen have these great deals so that they want to come here. And then at school Y, which is their bitter rival, that booster group says, you know what, we're going to have to up the ante here. That's corruption, quite frankly. So that's where it gets complicated. And so, you know what, we're going to be in the court system inevitably because this has interstate implications. It's tough to have a group of schools that follow rules across all states if individual states are doing their own thing. So we'll probably end up in the courts trying to get some assistance there. And then we're going to need our state governments and ultimately I think the federal government to weigh into this. And we're going to have to come up with some way to manage this in a way that's equitable and that's fair and to the benefit of all involved.
Dr. John Steinbrecher joining us on the show. Matt, Commissioner, what about, have you guys thought about the tax implications as well for the players? Because it is income. You can be taxed on it, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And again, let's remind everybody what we're not talking about the schools paying the players. What we're talking about are third parties potentially paying student athletes. Absolutely, they'd be taxed. And so there's an array of implications here. And let's take it a step further. One of the things I've been reading about from people is say, well, maybe there's a middle ground where you could say maybe they could do a group license for all, let's say, all the college football players so that they could share in some revenue, licensing revenue off of, let's say, the EA Sports NCAA Football 2020 video game, something like that. You go, yeah, that makes sense. It'd be fair. Everybody'd get about the same amount. All that's great. That sounds good. But the practical reality of it is to be able to negotiate that deal, you'd have to have the students collectively bargain, which means they have to unionize. Take it another step. If we're going to have students out there getting endorsement deals, et cetera, they probably need to have an agent, don't they? Well, that's another change in rules we're going to have to mess with. So again, there's an array of implications here. Probably all of them can be managed in some form or fashion, but it's not going to happen overnight. We need to be thoughtful, and we'll see where we go. This is not something that we're going to put on the shelf and be done with in the next 6 months. This is probably a 2 to 5 year issue.
You're someone who works very closely with student athletes. When you hear former student athletes like Draymond Green or Richard Sherman say they want to destroy the NCAA, they want to blow up the entire model, how does that make you feel as somebody who works so closely with so many schools, member institutions, and the players?
Well, you know, it's an eye-catching soundbite, and that's the intent of it. My question back is, okay, if you don't want that, what is the system you want? And how are you going to build a system that provides incredible amounts of opportunity for student athletes? You know, we're talking about a system right now, college athletics, there's about $3.5 billion in financial aid that's awarded. This next to the GI Bill, this is the greatest provider of financial aid for kids to go to college that we have. You know, there's a host of things we don't think about. And we kind of get focused on the football and basketball players because that's probably where with the issue of name, image, and likeness, most of the value is. We forget about volleyball and cross country and field hockey, et cetera. If we were trying to run intercollegiate athletics as a business, we'd have two sports. But we're not doing that because there's only two sports that really generate sufficient revenue to cover themselves. But we don't do that. In our case, we have championships in 23 sports. We do that because we're committed to providing broad-based opportunities for young men, young women across our institutions. It's not a great financial model, but that's important to us. We believe that's part and parcel of why intercollegiate athletics fits in higher education, because there are educational value. There's things that are derived that are of benefit to the kids. And so, you know, it's easy to say, let's get rid of it. Okay, fine. What's the alternative, and how does it provide opportunities for the young men and women out there?
Doctor, we thank you very much for the time. Great stuff as usual. Talk to you again soon. All the best.
Hey, you guys have a great week.
You too. Dr. John Steinbrecher, MAC commissioner, joining us on the show. An issue that won't be going away, you know, that Anthony Gonzalez, our buddy, is going to be...
No, not only that, they are going to look into the constitutionality of this. It is going to be tested in courts. This is going to go to federal courts, and I don't think this is going to be, adjudicated anytime soon. So, you know, you're going to hear the Richard Shermans of the world say, this thing is a disaster, the NCAA is so terrible, and all I would ask is then why do these guys continue to sign up for collegiate sports? Why do they do it? Nobody's holding a gun to their head. Why do they continue to do it? Doesn't mean it's a perfect system and it needs help, but why do they keep doing it? The system is so bad, and now you have other professional outlets for them to pursue. Why do they keep going to the system that they want to blow up?
Dr. John on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mary Kay Cabot at 825. Up next, it's not a question of if, it's when for Francisco Lindor, and it might make you upset. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima live on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.